Do turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. As I said earlier, we will be looking together at verses 30 through to 44. Sometimes you need to get a message across. As I've said, you know I work for one of the major utility companies in the UK, and at times we will have a message that we want to get across. So, for example, in February, we had a very good message for once to be able to tell people. And it started very early in the morning, 6 o'clock. I had to be in work to go and brief different people to tell them what was happening. There was posters up across the office. We had people on the sofa on BBC with Sean and Bill. And we had people on GMTV and on Sky News. You had adverts in the newspapers, internet things. And we wanted to get a message out. And we used loads of different ways to do it. It's the same with these politicians at the moment, isn't it? Thank goodness it's all going to be over in 3 weeks' time. But imagine this morning that you're Gordon Brown, you're David Cameron, you're Nick Clegg. Imagine you're one of them. How would you want to share your message? All three have got a message. I'm not going to sort of go into which one I think is the best or the worst or what have you. But how would you want to share your message? Now, you could have a TV debate. You could have, maybe you go on the television for an interview so you can go and share it. You will maybe have an internet web chat where you can talk to people on the internet. Maybe you'll have a website. You'll have interviews in the newspaper. They write manifestos, don't they? So you can read through them and not learn an awful lot more than you would have done if you didn't read through them. But they have all different ways that they would like to try and share messages with you. And they do that, don't they? They have little groups around the country. Maybe you're part of a political party, and now sort of election time, one of the things that you do is you're out on the trail campaigning, knocking on people's doors, asking who they're going to vote for. These people, they have to work, just like British Gas, within their means. Their resources are finite. They only have a certain amount. Let me ask you a second question. If you were God, how would you want to share your message? If you were God, how would you want to share your message? Imagine that you're infinite. You can do anything. You can do everything. Your resources are limitless. How would you want to share your message? I believe the passage that we read together earlier gives us the answer to that question. And we're going to look through it. And I want you to bear that question in mind. We will answer it through the course of it. But we're going to see three things this morning, three things from this passage of Jesus feeding the 5,000. It's actually more than 5,000. There were 5,000 men. And then, of course, there would have been women and children on top of that. But we know that, you know, we know the passage, don't we, is the feeding of the 5,000. So first thing that I want us to see from this passage this morning is that we are shown the right attitude to have towards people. We are shown the right attitude to have towards people. Let's sort of put things into a bit of context. It's not a brilliant time. John the Baptist has just had his head chopped off, and he's sort of, you can imagine, can't you, that the powers that be were so nice, they wanted it on a platter, didn't they, and it was presented. But you can imagine the disciples, they've gone and they've taken the body, they've buried it and laid it in a tomb. You can imagine how they're feeling, how our Lord is feeling. They're going to be pretty sad, wouldn't they? They'd want to be alone. They wouldn't want to be bothered. And then in verse 30, the disciples, they gather to Jesus and they tell him the things that they've been doing and what they'd taught. And Jesus quite clearly sees that they need to rest. In verse 31, you know, he knows they need to be alone. And he says to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Jesus knows that these people, that these disciples, these men, maybe even Jesus himself in his humanity, needed to be alone. And they needed a rest. You can imagine, can't you? They've got all these people following them around everywhere. We've seen on the television, haven't we, the last few days? Certainly after the debate on Thursday. Nobody really cared about Nick Clegg beforehand. But then suddenly, Friday morning, there's this scrum of people following him wherever he goes. And this is the same sort of situation that these disciples and Jesus were in. People were following him wherever they went. What's the worst thing? When you want to be alone, when you need to rest, when you've got people who just follow you around. Think of days in work. Just got things I need to do. I just need to be on my own. That'll be the day when you'll have everybody at your desk sort of asking for things and what have you. And if we were in this situation here as the disciples, you can imagine what it would have been like, can't you? They depart to this deserted place. They get in a boat. They're thinking, oh, we've got away from them finally. We can rest, have some sleep maybe. But what happens? All these people, the multitudes, it says in verse 33, but we're presuming because he fed 5,000 that there would have been around 5,000 people, if not more. And here they are. They see them departing, and they knew where they were going because they actually ended up where the disciples and Jesus were going before they actually got there. Can you imagine what they felt? How they would have felt when they got there? Here they've gone on this boat. They've gone away to rest. And you get there thinking, oh, we're coming up to the shore. We can get off. We can relax. And then seeing 5,000 men and women and children. How would we have reacted to that? I would probably have told whoever was driving the boat or putting the sails on the boat to turn around and put his anchor down in the middle of where they were. But no. Key verse, isn't it, there is verse 34. When Jesus came out, he saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. Saw them as sheep, not having a shepherd. And that's the first part of having a right attitude towards the people we see, is to have compassion. It's to have compassion. And the question that we all need to ask ourselves is, do we have compassion on the people around us? Do we have compassion on our neighbours, on our friends, on our family members? Because what the word that is translated compassion, it is talking about having the bowels yearning. It's talking about having that inner pain, that inner longing. It's not just as we sort of think of, you know, we live in a very superficial society, don't we? But this isn't a superficial word, it's deep yearning. And it's also important that we understand that these weren't friends or family members of Jesus. They weren't his disciples, because he was with his disciples already before the multitudes came. They weren't his family. They were 5,000 people. Random people. People that they wouldn't have known. Maybe they recognized some of them because they'd been following them around. But it wasn't people, they weren't people that Jesus were close to. And that begs then a second question to us, doesn't it? And it's not just about having compassion on friends and family members, it's about having compassion on everybody. And when we look out at the streets of Clydach, what do we see? Sort of as I talk to myself, when I look at the streets of the estate the church is based on in Cardiff, what do I see? Bunch of teenagers who want to cause trouble. Drugs are rife. People just go in the same circle of alcoholism and just making the same mistakes. Parent, then the child making the same mistakes as the parent, and so the cycle goes on. People who just have no concept of social relations, how it is appropriate to behave to other people. People, the world just says, let's forget about them. The world would probably say similar about Clydach, wouldn't it? Small town, large village, north of Swansea. Not really that significant. What would the Lord Jesus see, though, if he was here this morning? What would he see if he was walking around Clydach in the evening? We'd see him as a bunch of drunks, troublemakers. But he would see that the outward symptoms are just showing the problem inside. He would see them as sheep without a shepherd. And it's important that as Christians, we need to have compassion on those who are around us. We need to have compassion on people who we've never even met before. Surely that's sort of one of the things of the teachings of the Good Samaritan. But as well as compassion, we need to see people's need And you see it there, don't you, where the disciples, these people have stayed with Jesus. And we read in verse 35, the day was now far spent, and his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." The disciples have seen that these people have a need. The disciples have straight away have seen these people have got a need. They're hungry. It's late. And it's almost as, you know, they go into our Lord and say, "Look, these people, are, you know, they're hungry. They need something to eat. There's not a McDonald's on the corner where they can all go for a cheeseburger. We need to let them go now so they can go back to the towns and the villages, so they can go back and they can find somewhere and find something to eat." And these disciples have this concern. We need to remember that people have a need today. Every single person in this world has a need today. They may not know they have a need, but they are hungry. They're spiritually hungry. That's the same for everybody, isn't it? Next door neighbor who's a real pain, they've got the same need as your friend that you grew up with school, who's quite respectable and what have you. They have exactly the same need. They have the same need as the person who stumbles out of a pub on a Friday night, unable to stand up. They have the same need as the drug dealer. They have the same need as anybody here this morning who is without the Lord Jesus Christ. And these disciples also noticed that they had nothing to give these people. It's an important part here, isn't it? They didn't have anything to give them. That's why they were saying, "Send them away. Send them to the villages, to the towns, so they can go and get something to eat." They were in effect saying, "We don't have anything to give these people." And we got to remember that in one sense of ourselves, we have nothing to give these people. Nothing to give these people. But what the disciples did is they brought the need to the Lord Jesus Christ. They brought these people's need to the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we need to do the same. We need to see, as well as having compassion, we need to see people's main need is that of hunger. Spiritual hunger. They may not even know that they're hungry. And we need to bring people's needs to the Lord Jesus. So firstly, we've seen that this passage shows us the right attitude to have towards people. Secondly, this passage shows us that Jesus worked through the disciples to meet these people's needs. Jesus worked through the disciples. I think that's amazing. I think this is one of the most amazing passages of Scripture. Here is God the Son, who has infinite resources available to him. He could have chosen to meet the need of these people in any way he wanted to, yet he chose these disciples, who were a bit of a motley crew at the best of times. And when we look at the passages, his reply is somewhat strange, isn't it? Let's just take this at face value. Let's imagine that we're these disciples here. We've just gone to Jesus and said, "Look, there's thousands of people. We've got no food for them. We need to let them go now so they can go and find something to eat." So let's just imagine that we're there. And Jesus turns around and he says to them, "You give them something to eat." Can you imagine being one of those disciples? Can you imagine what would have been going through your thought process? "Lord, there are 5,000 men here. And the women and the children. We've got no food and you are asking me to feed them." That's what sort of would have been going through my mind. What is... It sounds daft, doesn't it? Can you just imagine? Because we're so familiar with this, we lose the wonder so often, don't we? But what would these disciples have thought? What are things they come back to him, don't they? And sort of say, "Well, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" Jesus says, no. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. So you can imagine, okay, let's go and see. So out they go, and can you imagine how they must have felt? The first person they asked, no, we haven't got any food. Imagine going round 5,000 men, plus women and children, and all you have to show for it are 5 loaves and 2 fish. Between all these people, 5 loaves, 2 fish. It's crazy. The world says it's impossible. How are you going to do it? Then Jesus makes them sit down in groups on the green grass. Isn't it amazing how the Bible just gives us detail? The grass was green. They sat down in ranks in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples and set before them and the 2 fish he divided among them all. Verse 42. This is amazing as well, isn't it? So they all ate and were filled. Every single person ate and they were filled. So we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish and every single person ate and were filled. And more than that, we've actually got 12 baskets left over. And some people say, what an amazing miracle. All these people were fed. And they're right. What an amazing miracle. Here is Jesus with nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he feeds over 5,000 people. But the real miracle here is not about what the Lord Jesus Christ did in one sense. It's about who he used. That's the biggest miracle. As I said, he could have chosen any way he wanted to fill these people. He could have had bread coming down from heaven. Jews would have been very familiar with what happened in the desert and the manna. He could have done all manner of things. But Jesus Christ chose to work through the disciples to meet people's need. That is the biggest miracle. And he is still doing the same miracle today. He's still doing the same miracle today. He is working through us. If you're a Christian here today, Jesus wants to work through you. Not to give out bread and fish, but to give out the bread of life. Jesus says, doesn't he, in John chapter 6 and verse 35, in that great discourse, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who thirsts in me shall never thirst. Jesus wants you as a Christian to give out the bread of life, to share the bread of life, to tell people about the bread of life. And we need to say that these disciples didn't do the miracle, did they? There was nothing special in what the disciples did. It wasn't that they were the ones that were there and that they were doing something special to the bread and the fish, and the fish and the bread was multiplying, and it was the disciples that were doing the miracle. Clearly they weren't. It was Jesus who was doing the miracle, but he used the disciples through the miracle. And it's the same way today. We're not saying that as a Christian you can make somebody else a Christian. We're not saying that you can save somebody else. But it's amazing that Jesus wants to use people like you and I to share this gospel. That the Lord God of heaven has decided in all of his wisdom to use men and women like you and me to share the bread of life. These disciples, they were ordinary men. They were fishermen. Some of them were hated because they used to be tax collectors. There was nothing special about them in any way, shape, or form. And we can draw great comfort from that. And if Jesus Christ can use men such as them, he can use men and women such as us. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, we have a wonderful message to share with you. We have a message that says, Jesus is the bread of life. If you go to him, you'll never be hungry. You'll never yearn for anything. Because he gives you all that you need. He will fill you. And that's why there's a church of people here because they say amen. They know that that is true. God has chosen us to do his work. That is why this church is here. Church of Jesus Christ is here to share the gospel. And as a Christian, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants to work through you to meet people's need. Just as he worked through the disciples to meet those people's physical need. It's just a picture of wanting to work through his people to meet people's spiritual need. So this passage has shown us about having the right attitude towards people. It's shown us that Jesus worked through the disciples. But this passage also shows us, finally, that the disciples obeyed Jesus. I think they deserve great credit for that. As I said, if I was one of those disciples and Jesus had said to me, you go and give them something to eat, I'd have been like, you're having a laugh. There's 5,000 people, we have 5 loaves and we have 2 fish. How on earth is that going to work? And we bemoan the disciples, don't we, so often, at their lack of faith. And if you go through the Gospels, they don't get it half the time. They still don't understand what's going on, even after Jesus has risen from the dead. But here they show great faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have any evidence of them questioning. We don't have any evidence of them querying. We don't have any evidence of saying, Lord, how is this going to happen? We don't have any evidence of them saying, now come on, this is one step too far. We're never going to be able to do this. The disciples did exactly as what Jesus commanded them to do. They did exactly as he commanded. Would you have done the same? Would you have done the same? Don't look, answer that question in sort of, yeah, I know. And yes, we've got the benefits of history, and we've got the benefit that we have the full word of God. But if you're one of those disciples, just being called out from the world, all sorts of things, you obviously notice that there's something very special about this man, but you haven't quite worked out what it is. Would you have done what they did and just obeyed Jesus and given that food? Can you imagine when Jesus has sort of blessed the food and he's broken the loaves and he's split it into baskets for them, looking at what would have been in your basket? You'd have had about a sixth of a fish, and my maths ain't so good on the bread, but you wouldn't have had, do you know what I mean? You'd have had less than half a loaf of bread. And you'd have been going out and feeding these thousands of people. But these disciples, they just went. And that is a great lesson for us, isn't it? And when we as a church in Emmanuel, we look out at the estate that we're on with 3,500 people on there, and you know, it's very socially deprived, and we can look and we can think, Lord, how on earth? How on earth? How is this going to happen? How are we going to even make the slightest bit of difference? These disciples, they trusted, even though they had very little in their basket, they trusted that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to give what was needed. They trusted that there wasn't going to be a problem. And that is an example to us, isn't it? Matthew chapter 28 gives us, doesn't he, the Great Commission. It's called verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. Jesus commands us, just as he told these disciples to go and give these people the food, Jesus tells us to go and share the gospel. And the question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, are we willing to obey Jesus? Are we willing to obey our Lord? Are we willing to obey our Savior, just as these disciples did? They trusted him. They trusted that he would provide everything that they needed. They trusted that he would give them all that they could ever want in that situation. But as Christians, we have the same issue. Sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just down to one or two people in the church. It's something that we all can do. Whether we're a new convert, maybe we're 9, 10 years old, we're very young, we can still share the Lord Jesus. Maybe in a bit of a simpler way than if you're a bit older, but the same at the other end of the age range. You're 80, 90. We can share the Lord Jesus. I go and preach in a church in Pencoed, and there's a lady there, she's 96. I think she is probably the most on fire person I have ever met in terms of sharing the gospel. She just shares the gospel with everybody because it fills her. She trusts the Lord Jesus with all of her heart. She knows how what he's done in her life. And in one sense, we can say the same, can't we? Not like these disciples who are trying to figure out who Jesus is. Is it really worth following him? What's going to happen? Here we are, we're the other side of history. We're the other side of the Lord Jesus Christ, death and resurrection. We come at it from a... We know. We know that he can be trusted. We know that if God is going to give us his own son, he's not going to withhold anything else that we need. And that is why we're called to always give a reason for the hope that is in us. So we need to obey Jesus just as those disciples obeyed Jesus. We need to tell our friends, our family members. It might be the person in the post office. Give them a tract. I just want, do you know what I mean? Sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with people. And why do we do it? We do it because, just as the disciples were used to meet the people's physical need, Jesus wants to use us to meet people's physical need and share the gospel. So as we close, I'll ask the same question I asked at the beginning. If you were God, how would you choose to share your good news? Would you get the angels to come down from heaven? Would you take over every television network in the world at the same time? So no matter what anybody was seeing, it was showing the gospel. God has chosen to use people, ordinary people, like you and me. May God give us the help we need to obey him and follow the Lord Jesus and share his gospel with those around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're amazed how somebody as great and as holy and magnificent as you are could choose to want to use people like us. We know that we are not very good at the best of times. You know that we struggle even sometimes to say one word for you. And Father, we pray that you would forgive us and that you would forgive us for the fact that so often we do not share your gospel with those around us. We pray that we would take seriously the commission that we have, that we would take seriously the fact that you have chosen to share your gospel through people. And Father, whilst we do not limit you just to that, we know that throughout history and through your word, we know that that is how you generally work. And we're very humbled by that. And in one sense, that frightens us. But we know that it is you who saves. And we know that it is you have commanded us, and we do not forget, as our Lord, the Lord Jesus, told those disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. Father, we hold on to that promise at the end, that he is with us even to the end of the age. Father, we pray that you would help us to tell our friends, our family members, those around us, our work colleagues, even people we just see in the street. Father, we pray that you would help us to tell them the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, that you would help us to and give us the opportunities to be able to share the bread of life with them. And Father, through your Spirit, For we know that we need his power. For it is not through our might, but through his great strength we pray that he would melt their hearts, that he would work in their souls, and that even through our feeble work, that we may see sinners brought to you. Father, not that we may rejoice and be proud in ourselves, but Father, we would always glory and be amazed that you would seek to work in people like us. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would glorify yourself in these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.